So I think the reason I've been asked to speak tonight is because for most of the time I've known a lot of you, our family's been waiting. For 50 months, we were waiting on bringing home Ravi from India, although we didn't know it was gonna be from India. It was just an international adoption that kept going on and on and on. So maybe we know a little bit about waiting on God's timing. You probably saw Ravi running around, and I told his sisters they needed to take him away because otherwise none of us would be able to concentrate. So hopefully they will have a fun time and we won't hear any shrieking. Oh. So to the world, the idea of waiting has a negative connotation. Have you noticed that? We don't want to wait in line. We don't want to wait for our food at a restaurant. We don't even want to wait until we can afford to buy something before we actually buy it. We'll just put it on the credit card. Of course, these are superficial examples, but what about when it comes to waiting on something bigger, something our heart truly longs for? You might come up with a plan to shorten the wait. You might assume you'll only be disappointed in the end. You might blame those around you, including God, on the fact that you have to wait. These are natural or fleshly reactions when we find ourselves waiting. I struggled with all of these during our 50-month adoption wait. But how is waiting on God's timing different? I would submit to you that in order for us to wait on God's timing, we must start by knowing God's character, that he is completely good, completely trustworthy. We must acknowledge that if the Lord is allowing a wait in our lives, there must be a purpose behind it. For the woman in the room who believes this intellectually, but may be struggling with fleshly thoughts or actions as she waits on God's timing, just like I did, and also for the woman in the room who isn't quite sure she even wants to wait on God, I hope you will find these stories of God's goodness to be encouraging. As I've looked back over our adoption story, I notice a theme. The Lord desired to grow us, he guided our steps, and it is worth waiting on God's timing. I needed to grow, he needed to grow me. Often at the forefront of my mind are fleshly, selfish desires that have no eternal consequences whatsoever. For example, I'm waiting for my husband to remodel my bathroom. My friends know this because I talk about it a lot, and I'm super embarrassed if you come over to my house and you happen to use that restroom, and I go, oh, you didn't go in there, did you? Before we bought our house, we could see that the seller had smeared caulk all over the tiles. The ceramic soap dish was held on by smeared caulk. Yeah. Well, we bought the house anyway, a decision that was probably affected by having watched too many episodes of Fixer Upper. And the more showers we took, the more those tiles began to sag. Well, one day I thought to myself, I bet you I could pull that soap dish off the wall with my bare hands. And I did it. In fact, I pulled off about a third of those tiles with no tools. Just determination and a complete lack of foresight. Then I walked away because I don't know how to put any of that back together. My husband will do it. He's nice. He'll take care of it. More than a year later, it's completely demolished, but the sink and toilet are still in there. So Jake and I look at gaping holes and exposed pipes while going potty, brushing teeth, etc. Let me tell you how the Lord uses this ugly bathroom as a daily reminder of his provision and my selfishness. As a reminder that the Lord desires to grow us as we wait, and that he will guide our steps. It is worth waiting on God's timing. To explain, I have to go back a little bit. I have to explain about adopting Hannah from Ethiopia. The whole process with her adoption took a year from start to finish. The Lord provided all the money. She was 3 weeks old when we first laid eyes on her picture, and she was home by the time she was 2.5 months old. She was teeny. She was teeny. The whole experience was just as perfect as it could be. We made a plan to bring home an Ethiopian son when the time was right. Well, we had Killian, and that was like, oh gosh, now is not the time. We gotta get that little boy under control, right? So, but when January of 2014 rolled around, we decided that was the right time. And we began the process of adopting from Ethiopia a second time. Well, we waited for 2.5 years with virtually no progress. During the wait, our agency warned us that an Ethiopian adoption could be expected to take another 5 years or even longer than that. At the same time, they offered incentives to switch our efforts to India, where families and children could be matched almost immediately. Stubbornly, we refused to change our plans. Isn't that interesting? Now it seems so silly. Well, one day, during all of this, I was spending a ridiculous amount of brain power, not thinking about my adoption, but thinking about the fact that something would have to be done about my ugly bath. I stopped brooding long enough to watch with my family a documentary about trains in India. About 5 minutes of this documentary featured a man who provided for his family by selling chocolate to passengers on a train. His problem was that the chocolates would melt in the heat, and no one wants to buy melted chocolate, so he would lose money. It took 2 years, but he was finally able to save enough money to make the most expensive purchase of his life, a lunchbox-sized Igloo brand cooler that would keep his wares fresh for his customers. The last clip showed the man, his wife, and children celebrating joyously because that $30 cooler gave them hope for a better life. And not 10 minutes prior to watching this show, I had been lamenting the fact that one of my 3 bathrooms doesn't look as nice as I'd like it to. Every one of us grays was struck by the story of that man in India. We kept thinking about how we have so much, and yet we desire even more for ourselves. Praise God that when we give ourselves to Him, He doesn't just leave us as we are, selfishly waiting for our fleshly desires to be fulfilled. Through His Spirit, through the truth of His Word, and even through circumstances in our lives, we are gradually transformed. The documentary we watched softened our hearts towards India, but Jake and I were still unwilling to switch our adoption efforts to another country. In fact, across the board in our lives, we were in the habit of making our own plans and sticking to them at all costs. None of our plans were inherently bad, but we weren't letting the Lord guide our steps. Over 50 months of waiting to adopt, we gradually caught on to what the Lord was trying to show us. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps, Proverbs 16:9. As we waited, our jobs changed significantly, our church of 10 years dissolved, and we became part of the family here at Mountain Christian. We sold the house in which we planned to live out our days, and we bought a home 3 minutes from here, that one that needs work. We were confident that all of these changes were God-led, and in each case, we could see His plans were far better than our own. Yet, Jake and I still refused to give up on the idea that our young son was somewhere in Ethiopia. Until one night in December 2016, my 6-year-old son was overcome with emotion. Now, if you've met Killian, you might describe him as rambunctious, inquisitive, or jovial, but never emotional. This outburst was completely uncharacteristic. He cried all evening, yet he wouldn't tell me what was wrong. I finally called his dad, who was working that night, explained the situation, and handed the phone to Killian. His body shaking with sobs, he choked out the words, "I just need my baby brother." This moment struck both Jake and me to the core. We talked and prayed together with our children. We asked our Hannah how she would feel if her new brother was an Ethiopian like her. Her unhesitant response was, "I just want a baby brother." We cautiously stepped forward in faith by switching our adoption efforts to India. And 6 months later, we were matched with our little boy, that one that we saw. The first picture we saw of him was simply beautiful. But as we looked through his files, we found this one. This photo was taken when Ravi first entered the orphanage at 2 months of age, weighing only 5 pounds. Do you know what still makes me cry? Knowing that this was Ravi in December 2016, the same month that Killian cried out to God for his baby brother. I wish I could say from that point of being matched with Robbie, from seeing the Lord's hand in the process, that I easily waited on God's timing. In fact, knowing who we were waiting for made it even harder to trust that there was purpose in the waiting. As part of our adoption training, we were assigned reading on how early trauma affects a child's brain chemistry and behavior. Here's an example of the reading we had to do. When a child does this, pulls away from your embrace, he or she may be trying to express this. I've never learned how to process touch, so being held is terrifying. I've been badly hurt by abusive adults, and I'm still learning to trust. I've never experienced appropriate nurturing affection from an adult, so this is all new and scary to me. If your child approaches strangers indiscriminately, we'll go up to anybody, they're probably expressing this. My caregivers were not reliable and abandoned me, so I desperately seek security and approval wherever I am, however I can, as a kind of insurance. I crave interactive and physical contact because of sensory processing disorder. If your child hoards or steals foods, it's probably because they're trying to express, I was painfully hungry and undernourished and nearly starved before, and I am haunted by the fear it will happen again. And it goes on and on and on about all the things that can happen to a baby when they are in a less than ideal situation. Seeing a baby with its mama was particularly difficult, knowing my baby was one of many vying for the attention of his caregiver at an orphanage. Was his caregiver loving and kind, neglectful, abusive? Remember all those fleshly reactions I mentioned? Well, I contrived to speed up the process, though you'll be glad to know I didn't actually follow through with any bribery or law breaking. This made me think of a time we were over at the Kenny's house, and her husband, Dave Kenny, who is a Green Beret, said, "Where is he? Give me 7 days." And I was really tempted. Was he joking? I don't know. I knew he wasn't joking, and he actually could do it for me. I also let my mind run away with itself, imagining that the entire process would just fall through. I blamed the paper pushers, social workers, politicians, and yes, even my husband and God for the delays we came up against. Remembering how sporadic my faithfulness was, I'm humbled to see how the Lord still blessed. Adoption expenses were never a concern, not because we make a lot of money, but because of his provision. We were told to expect a 6 to 18 month wait from being matched with Robbie until we brought him home. We waited 9 months. But the sweetest blessing was when Jake and I walked into an orphanage that was clean and bright, with children who were smiling and curious to meet us. Robbie looked to his caretaker for reassurance when we came into the room where he was waiting in his crib, having just woken up from a nap. This nurturing older woman reassured him in Hindi and pointed to us, saying, "Mommy, Daddy," in her broken English. When it was time to take our little boy, the caregivers gathered to watch. They were teary-eyed. As we climbed into the car, a young woman rushed forward. She didn't speak much English, but she knew the word selfie. She wanted a picture of herself, the child she had cared for since he was 2 months old, and his new parents. We are now Facebook friends with these special women, and they love every picture that we post. I want you to notice firsthand a miracle that is a direct result of these Indian women whom the Lord is using to bless children and families. Watch Robbie. He's attached to me and Jake and his siblings. He's cautious around you guys, but he's not fearful. For a child who had a hard start in life, these details are cause for rejoicing. The Lord is trustworthy. He will grow us as we wait. He will guide our steps. Finally, I'd like to share with you a verse that I wasn't familiar with until recently. Our family ran across it just about a month before we traveled to India to bring Robbie home. It is now one of our favorites. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, is a tree of life. Proverbs 13:12. I can't tell you how often that comes to mind when I see him running around so happy. I hope you find this verse as a comfort to you as you wait on God's timing in your life. It's been a pleasure to share with you stories of how good God is, even as we wait on his timing. And now I'd love to continue the discussion. I want to know, have there been times when you've had to wait? Times when you've seen the purpose behind the waiting? Is anyone willing to share a story about how good God is?